Hi, it's Bikescape, episode number 68, September 19th, 2008. Well, hello, Bikescapers. Welcome to another show. As usual, at the beginning of a Bikescape, I'm standing out on the street. This time it's the Embarcadero, the road that follows along the bay in San Francisco here. And as usual, it's filled with cars. And I'm asking the perennial Bikescape question, what is a street for? Is it supposed to be noisy like this? Is it supposed to be full of cars? Is it supposed to be a place where you can't walk out into the street without possibly being killed? Well, I'm about to get an answer, one of many answers that we explore on Bikescape. In a few minutes, a bunch of PCOs, a bunch of traffic control officers are going to be walking out to the middle of the street and putting up barricades and closing the Embarcadero. And what's going to happen is we're going to see the road closing between Chinatown, all the way down the Embarcadero, along the bay, up 3rd Street, and out to the Bayview, a distance of almost 5 miles, the Bayview all the way in the southern part of town, by the Bayview Opera House. What's going to happen? Well, I'm not really sure. It's never happened in San Francisco before. I have a good idea. It's happened in Bogota, Colombia for 10 years, where they close 98 miles of street every Sunday. It happened recently in New York. It happened recently also in Portland. And people poured out into the street. They rode their bikes, they walked, they hula-hooped, they did aerobics, they strolled, they sat in the middle of the street and had a picnic. There's a million things you can do in the street. And pretty soon we'll see. PCOs are about to close the street, and we'll see how San Francisco goes through its very first Sunday streets. In the meantime, I see a guy walking around, pacing back and forth, and he's talking to the PCOs, the parking control officers, and I'd like to find out what's up with them.
No, I own a restaurant at Fisherman's Wharf.
Oh, really? So you're out checking out?
It was at, what station are you with?
Oh, this is the internet show.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, make sure you report exactly what's going on.
Yeah, what do you expect to have happen today? What's your name?
Jeffrey Pollack.
And who do you represent the Fisherman's Wharf?
I represent Fisherman's Wharf Restaurant Association.
I see. Uh-huh. Oh, the association, really. So that represents all the restaurants in Fisherman's Wharf?
Well, the original Fisherman's Wharf restaurants on Taylor Street.
So you're just out sort of checking out how it's going down?
Obviously, they've advertised they're closing this roadway down, uh-huh. which is our main artery into both North Beach, Chinatown, Fisherman's Wharf. So I'd like to know what's going, you know, why they take the mile and a quarter roadway. We support the event. What we don't support is taking the roadway basically from 280 and the ancillary streets heading from 101 down here, because this is the main. There's only four main arteries: 19th Avenue, Franklin, and Van Ness, 3rd Street, Kearney, and Columbus, and this. That's the four north-south arteries in this city.
Has anybody done any studies about how many, what percentage of your customers come by car?
Well, may I say something to you?
Sure.
Don't you think they should have done that before they closed down the artery on Labor Day weekend, the busiest weekend of the year? Listen, if you want me to say more, you can certainly give me a buzz. But right now, I have to check out the rest of
it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, see you later. Nick's Lighthouse, let's go spend some money there today. And here come the very first bicycles, a little family. One kid on the back, smiles all around. Well, I've just walked over to the area just in front of the ferry building, not far from Pee Wee Herman Plaza, where Critical Mass starts, and I see that all of the organizations that are running this show are setting up their booths and tables now.
My name is Cheryl Brinkman.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
I'm the board president of Livable City and one of the organizers of Sunday Streets San Francisco. And I'm so happy because finally, all of our hard work is paying off, and there's about 4.5 miles of car-free streets that are open to people to do whatever they want, to have fun, to play, and I think that this is going to show us there's an unrealized demand out there for this type of recreational space.
Also here is the Director of Climate Protection Initiatives from the Mayor's Office. Also one of the organizers of this extravaganza, Wade Crowfoot.
So we are out here on beautiful Embarcadero, and what you don't hear are cars on one side of the Embarcadero. About 20 minutes ago, the road opened up to non-auto physical activity.
Yay.
And so I'm looking out on the street, and I'm seeing bikers. There's about a 7-year-old biker biking with his parent. We've got runners out here, and we've got about just 20 minutes under our belt.
What's this going to do for the future? What's the plan now?
Well, the name of the game is to expand it from here, if indeed this proves popular. Mm-hmm. We love to say that we stole the idea from so many other cities around the world that are actually doing this, and we think this is a great fit for San Francisco. We want to help our residents be healthier and get out and exercise. We want to provide more free activities for individuals and families, and then thirdly, of course, with the environment, we want to reimagine our streets as places that don't necessarily need to only facilitate cars.
Uh-huh. So maybe there's going to be one more?
There's going to be one more on 2 weeks on September 14th, and then we'll evaluate it. We're hopeful that if people come out and tell us this is something they want to see on a regular basis, we will expand it in different parts of the city, maybe different times of year. But this is, I firmly believe in this movement, and I think this is something that that San Franciscans are really going to end up liking.
You got any other ideas for what streets might be a possibility for the future?
Well, I'd say, in my irrational exuberance right now, looking out at the street, I'd say the sky's the limit. You know,
yeah.
We need to do this kind of thing around town. This is the first activity that we know of that's connected to Bayview to Chinatown, which are two neighborhoods that are underserved by open space and recreational activities. But we've already heard from neighborhoods in different parts of the city, whether it's Hayes Valley or the Haight, that say we want our Sunday streets.
There's another thing, the social aspect.
The social aspect is creating more public space that people can interact. I think one of the places that makes San Francisco so special and that people compare this to Europe is we have public spaces, that third space. We have cafes. We have plazas where people come out and actually meet each other. There's no better example of that kind of thing than what we're doing here. This is the streets for the people to use. Rather than try to bring people to the open space, we're bringing the open space to people. And I think what's going to end up happening is a lot of social interaction.
And also you're connecting other neighborhoods that don't usually connect.
Really, that's really important. I mean, the Bayview District is a district that's been neglected by the city for decades. And so the reason why we have such strong support for the event down there is that they've said, listen, we want to be connected to the city. We want other San Franciscans that don't come down to the Bayview to come down to the Bayview and see what's happening down here.
So the Bayview is kind of isolated. It's over in the southern half of the city. And it's been economically isolated, too.
It's about 4 miles from where we stand. And so oftentimes what happens is people have just ignored it, whether you're the city or you're a resident. You don't go down there. And so what's so powerful about today is we're actually connecting literally the Bayview with Chinatown, obviously another very rich neighborhood in terms of culture, but actually with a lot of working poor people living there that don't have open space and don't have an opportunity to engage in paid recreational activities.
And it also goes to some really rich neighborhoods with some well-to-do neighborhoods. Everybody's going to be mixing.
And the idea is that, I think this is one of the most diverse routes of the Sunday streets that have been planned throughout the world, I would say. I mean, we go through the densest neighborhood in our city, Chinatown. Mm-hmm. We go along the Embarcadero, the waterfront, one of the crown jewels of San Francisco tourist attractions. Then we go into an industrial district, Illinois Street, Terry Francois, a new neighborhood being built in Mission Bay, and then we end up in the Bayview. So it's a little bit of everything.
And we get to showcase all the new stuff that's happening over there. I did a little pre-trip last night, and I was really surprised. Every time I arrive through Terry Francois and that neighborhood, it's always like I'm in a new
city.
It's
changing, I mean, and that's the whole idea, is to link people in a fun and special way to neighborhoods that they don't normally visit. We are one city. And as Mayor Newsom likes to say, we don't tolerate our diversity. We celebrate our diversity. And so this is just an opportunity for people to get out, meet each other, maybe try some fun physical activities. I'm looking over across the way and seeing Boomer Size, which is the 60s aerobics to 60s music. Who knew that even existed?
Yeah.
So we're excited.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome to everyone who's joining us for the Sunday Street program.
Oh, we're at the very beginning of the course here. This is Portsmouth Square in Chinatown. It used to be right at the port's mouth. Now it overlooks the canyons of the financial district. And it used to be the center of town at one time. Now it's the center of Chinatown. It's still the social center of Chinatown. There's 100,000 people here milling around. There's about to be a show. The self-help for the elderly cheerleaders are going to be out. Some old ladies with pom-poms. And there's booths everywhere and some old guys playing backgammon or some kind of Chinese backgammon type game. And mahjong players. Everybody is waiting for the mayor to come and speak. I don't think I'll wait to see him, but I do want to absorb some of the ambiance here of the old Portsmouth Square, where at one time the old vigilantes back in the Wild West used to have public hangings right here where I stand. It's just a very bizarre history of San Francisco. Right, people used to get shanghaied from bars and sent out on ships to Shanghai as captive workers. All sorts of ugly things used to happen here. Now it's the center of a vibrant neighborhood and also a tourist attraction. And also, it's the top of a huge parking structure. Kind of hard to tell when you're standing up here, but that's what's happened as we head into the end of car culture and we take our first tentative steps into the post-automobile San Francisco today. Well, having left Portsmouth Square in Chinatown, decided it was a beautiful day for a bike ride. It is a really beautiful day today. It's one of the warmest days of the year, and it's not always warm here in the summertime. Just want to give you a sense of what it sounds like out here without the cars. To me, that's beautiful.
How are you doing?
Great.
You got kids.
We have three kids out here.
What's your name?
Ariana Gerard.
Hi. Hi. You got three kids. You usually ride them on the bikes?
Yeah, we ride. We try to. Well, this summer we've been riding every day.
Yeah.
He learned how to ride.
The little one? Yeah, he's still on a little bike, huh?
Yeah.
How old is he?
I have 5, 3, and 2.
Oh, and you got the little road taxi. I used to have one of those.
Yeah.
But do you usually ride on city streets with the kids?
No, we ride, more trails and like high school tracks.
Uh-huh.
So they learn how to ride.
So this is different. They're actually getting a little like education about riding in the street, I guess, little bit today.
Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah, I'm not sure what age that kicks in, but are you enjoying it?
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
Yeah. So you think you'll come back next time? Would you like to see it become a regular occurrence?
Definitely. Yeah. I work in this city. We don't live here anymore. So we drove in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Luca, do you like it?
Yeah.
You having a good time?
Yeah.
You come back next year and do this again?
He says, yeah.
Not very
verbal. That's okay. All right, see you later. Have fun today.
Okay.
Hey, I think that's Mayor Newsom over there. What's he doing, talking to the press or something? I'm going to go talk to him.
And so, to the extent that we can validate our assertion that it's going to help, not hurt business, then yes. If the folks in... Thank you, guys. If things go as well as I hope in Pier 39 and business was not interrupted, I don't see any reason to continue this. In fact, I see no... In fact, I can only imagine the critique if we don't on the other side, it's just great. And people are rediscovering their city. I mean, how many folks, seriously, have spent their time out here and walked around and biked in the Bayview or gone through Mission Bay and seen the transformation or go out to Jolie Rec Center and see the work we've done there? Most people haven't. And people from all over the Bay Area and around the world. So it's great.
So do you say you plan on doing this again sometime?
Well, we're keeping... I want to hesitate the instinct to... say what I promised I wouldn't say, and that is I will wait until we have an objective analysis. It's a pilot, two street closures today and on the 14th. I have every hope that and expectation that we can continue it.
That's how it's been in every other city, hasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I committed to maintain, to the extent I could, recognizing my utter subjectivity, to be objective in terms of analyzing its impacts. But I have seen nothing and heard nothing that makes me feel like this shouldn't be a more permanent part of San Francisco's city life, right?
If things go as well as you hope, how regular would you like to make this?
We'll make that a community process. I'll listen to folks. You know, I had some people do this every Sunday. Again, we had to raise money to do this. We didn't want the general fund of the city impacted.
Right. So, I know that Folsom Street's been talking. People on Folsom Street have been talking about it too.
And we have other parts of the city that want to do it. I mean, down at the Great Highway said, "What about us out here?" And so people can rediscover Ocean Beach, the longest contiguous beach in the West Coast of the United States. People don't even know that Ocean Beach. So that's the opportunity. Is, you know, not just think this community, but look to expand this in other parts of the city. And it's all about rediscovering your city, our city, and the Bay Area, for that matter, coming back to San Francisco and enjoying it.
Reclaiming social space.
Yeah, no, it's exactly. It shouldn't be just plazas and parks that are sort of refuges. We can also look at our streets and thoroughfares and balance the needs. And, I mean, it's all about finding balance. And that's why you do a pilot. And you learn from it. We'll make mistakes. There'll be. In fact, I was down in the Embarcadero and I saw some choke points with traffic that have to be fixed. And we've already noted them. And we're going to work on parking control down there. And some folks, you know, looked frustrated. And I understand that. So we'll fix it. Meanwhile, I got to get back in shape. I'm out of shape.
Thank you very much.
Politician.
Thanks,
man. Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. Write it to the Examiner and the Chronicle. That way we can keep this going. I'm serious. The more you guys do that, the better off we're going to be.
Thank you for being out here.
And the hula hooping was the best thing, I got to say. I mean, everything. Bicycling, skating, hula hooping. It's back.
The mayor dished the press. He's off jogging in his sweatsuit down the road with his lovely new wife. And I'm on my bike. I'm not going to let him get away with this. I'm going to follow him for a while. Maybe I can talk to him.
I was wondering, can I ask a few more questions while we're running?
Yeah.
So we're...
jogging.
Yeah. So we see what happens with the... leadership, you know, the actually getting things moving even with a little bit of opposition. I had an interview with Gil Peñalosa, who came up with this whole Ciclovia idea. And he was talking about how you need the mayor to push these things through. You can't have the normal consensus. You have to actually push it through and worry about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Take the hits, right?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, maybe with the success of this, what are you thinking about in terms of other bicycle and pedestrian related?
Well, we've been so frustrated by this.
The injunction.
And so it's been, you know, and we're looking forward to when that thing is lifted and the work's done to really, in order of magnitude, step it up in terms of our bicycle network.
And we have cities to catch up with these days, don't we?
We do. I mean, we were the leader just a year and a half ago, and now we're not necessarily ahead of the pack. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done there, and we know that, and we're, to the extent it's appropriate, we've been planning. And organizing to the extent that it's legally permissible. We are ready to go when that's lifted. Of course, we've got the free bike program, which will be a big part of it, and all our bus shelters, which initiated in Lyon, France. It's been advanced to Paris. Washington, D.C. is attempting to do a version of it. I think Chicago's interested.
Uh-huh.
So that will be a big part of it as well.
Have you ever taken any trips to Europe to see the Copenhagen, Amsterdam?
Lyon idea from being over there.
The free bike, yeah.
Paris. Yeah, that's where we started that 2.5 years ago. And then we got, right when we were about to initiate it and launch it, we had the injunction. So,
rumor has it you heard about this in Davos from other mayors?
Well, originally I learned about about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. Same with the free bike program. That's how Lyon came.
It seems like that's the thing with big cities these days, you know, taking reclaiming space for...
Cities. Yeah. I mean, the cities that are going to thrive, the cities that are going to be...
Hey, we're on third walking.
Central and the development of our lives internationally are going to be the cities that do these types of things. Otherwise, we're just going to be any town USA. We've got to challenge the orthodoxies.
It's a good point. It's a good point in history too, with the decline of the automobile, because you know we can reclaim the street as a place where community happens.
Exactly. So you know, it's being thoughtful and prudent and balancing priorities and needs and creating a process of transition that works for people and doesn't alienate folks. I mean, that's my challenge.
Well, there's always people who all they know is to say no.
Yeah,
there's always those people
on both sides of every debate.
Yeah,
and so you know, I have folks in the bicycle advocacy that are no different than the folks on the pro car advocacy, and it's the 90% of us in between that want to fashion a different approach, and so that's where we really work to balance that 90% and build the kind of consensus and challenge that orthodoxy, recognizing these are controversial.
All right,
forward. And so, hey guys, how are you? And so this is from my perspective, to the extent that I stand here at 12:30 and have run most of the entire route, a wild success.
All right, well, I'm sorry I'm slowing you down here.
All right, look.
All right, congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you very much.
All right. Mayor Gavin Newsom. I suppose I could have asked him some more difficult questions, but what are you doing to stop the bike injunction in the city where we can't even build a bike rack until the injunction has been lifted by some crazy judge? What's the city attorney doing to stop this nonsense? But today's Gavin's day. I'm going to let him have it. He did a good thing. We're walking out onto the field of AT&T Park. Hey, what's going on here? Can you talk on my microphone? What's going on?
Yeah. You are our AT&T Park, yeah. Getting ready to run the bases on a Sunday afternoon, August the 31st.
Everybody's free to run the bases?
Yeah, everybody's free to walk the bases, and everybody's free to roam up and down and mark their streets. Yeah.
Wow, in the footsteps of Barry Bonds. There. Excellent, thanks. This is great. I've never been on the field before. Kids are all running the bases. Guy says, no sliding. You can't slide. That takes all the fun out of it. It's still great. This is AT&T Park. It's this wonderful park. It was built a few years ago. No parking. Everybody thought the world would fall apart. The world would end with if no parking. There would be traffic chaos. And somehow it works out. It's an old-style ballpark built along the lines of Wrigley Field in Chicago or Fenway Park in Boston, just like all the old pre-automobile ballparks. There are kids of all ages running the bases. No peanuts and Cracker Jacks, though.
All right. Okay, well, at least let's run from it, okay?
You gotta touch the base.
Ready? You gotta touch it. You gotta be close before you touch
it. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Josh. I'm a volunteer mechanic at the Bike Kitchen.
What is the Bike Kitchen?
The Bike Kitchen is a nonprofit, volunteer-run organization that teaches people how to fix bicycles. And we just set
maintain
up
independence for people so they can fix their own bike.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we get, you know, it's all kinds of people. Like you can even see here today, it's people of all ages, all types of bikes, all types of interest levels, and all types of experience in bike repair and bike riding.
So you have your little mobile shop set up? And brake adjustments and
everything. Yeah, we're doing axle overhauls,
oh,
and
yeah,
wheel truing, and yeah, all kinds of repairs.
Showing people how to do it themselves.
Showing people how to do it themselves. So people say, "Well, you'll fix bikes here." We say, "No, you'll fix bikes here."
Excellent.
So come on by.
The Bike Kitchen.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll be here the next time as well, and hopefully this Sunday Streets will continue for more than just 2 days.
Keep your eye open. The mayor's going to walk by in a minute.
Oh, maybe great.
Talk him into it.
We can talk him into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. Thanks.
Cool.
There's a bunch of volunteers out here with their bike stands helping people fix their bikes. The Bike Kitchen's a great resource. They're down on just off Mission Street on Lasky Alley, right where Mission and 9th come together, right south of Market, right near downtown. Maybe you're in the middle of your workday downtown and you have a rattle or your fork is loose or something's wrong with your bike. Maybe the chain isn't tensioned right or something. Just drop in on the Bike Kitchen. If you can't do it yourself, they'll help you. They'll teach you how to do it. And you'll always be able to do it again in the future.
Your name's Laird.
Joe? Yeah, good to see you, man.
It's Laird from CycleSide.
Sure.
What you riding there? Describe what you're riding for the radio.
It's a tall bike. It's made out of aluminum. It's part of CycleSide's fleet of space vehicles. It's part of the Bayview Space Administration, which stands
BVSA.
For... Yeah, BVSA, because it's part of our commitment to having, like, every community should have its own space program. You can't leave it up to NASA. So this bike was built at the same time as the Mars Rover bike. The Mars Rovers. And kind of in dedication to that, and also kind of our view of what, you know, people, when they start riding bikes on Mars, this is kind of, you know, how we think they should do it.
It's a suspension tall bike.
That's right.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
Very rough, rocky surface, so you're going to need full suspension. You're going to need the height in order to see over craters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very practical.
It's practical, yet get some eyeballs on you.
Yeah.
What does the other bumper sticker say on there?
It's had a lot of different things. Oh, this was printed out. That's one of our mottos, is safety third.
All right. That's a motto to live by. The Dead Baby Bikes in Seattle. Who's that?
That's another bike club from Seattle. Right. We were actually just up there for their big event. It's called the Dead Baby Downhill. Yeah. And it's a big downhill race and bike club gathering. And so hopefully actually some of them will be coming down for our event coming up.
Yeah, you got you got something coming up, Pedal Monster.
And it's coming up next month. We're doing a lot of bands. Bike clubs are coming out for that. We're going to have our pedal-powered midway of rides. The Derailers, the all-girl bicycle dance troupe, is going to be performing at that. Cookie Mongoloid, which is a heavy metal Cookie Monster band. It's like Cookie Monster singing Sesame Street songs, except in full leather.
Excellent.
And then we got, of course, the Cycleside Bike Rodeo, which will be demonstrating a lot of our bikes.
And the Midway. You'll have the Cycleside Midway, the Dizzy Machine, and...
the Dizzy Toy, Cycle Fuge. We have, like, probably almost eight, and we'll probably by then have a new ride we're working on. It's called the Cycle Set. It's basically like a swing set, but bicycle-driven and swinging.
Beautiful. So, you have a bicycle Ferris wheel.
The bicycle Ferris wheel. We've got the.
And these are real rides, people. These aren't bullshit. These really actually.
And we got pictures of them all on our website, cycleside.com. Got
to sign a waiver to get in.
That's right. Yeah, sign your life away, because it's all a fun experiment.
Safety third.
People, love it, and from big kids to little kids.
Where's it going
to
be held?
It's at Ace Junkyard. 2255 McKinnon Street, over just off of Bayshore, kind of behind the Burger King.
Near Evans, yeah.
Near the big, massive confluence of Highway 101 and 280, and one of the most complicated intersections in the United States.
And it's on Saturday, September 27th.
Yeah.
www.cycleside.com.
Yeah, and then we're also, the night before is our poker run.
Oh, can't miss that.
Yeah, so... It's kind of the beginning of it.
That might be a podcast right there.
Yeah, and it's also in conjunction with Bike is going to be that week, International Conference of Community Bike Projects. So Bike Kitchen from San Francisco is hosting it, mm-hmm. as well as the Bike Church from Santa Cruz. So it's going to be people from all over the country. It's just going to be like taking over San Francisco for, kind of alternative bicycling. It's not the Tour de France, mm-hmm. it's not the Giro, it's community bikes, it's fun alter cycles.
Yeah, Senor Coconut, not Kraftwerk, we're talking here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, instead of Cookie Monster, we got Cookie Mongoloid.
All right, well, nice seeing you.
Yeah, it's good to see you, John.
Well, as is often the case on Bikescape, the episode just kind of ends, doesn't it, without any real conclusion. But I ran out of clips, and that's where it ends. But in reality, I did continue on the ride all the way out to the Bayview. It was a beautiful day. It was the most beautiful day of the year so far, and it was just great. Met all different kinds of people, all ages, all backgrounds, and I really liked it. And then... At 1 o'clock, after a mere 5 hours, it just ended. Trucks with big speakers on top very brusquely told everybody that it was over, and before you know it, the road went through a weird shape-shifting change, and suddenly, once again, it was a traffic sewer. But the memory remains, and We know it's going to happen again next year. We're pretty sure about that. Everybody seems pretty up for it. But if you want to make sure it happens, you want to write to all the newspapers, write to the politicians, make sure you talk to people, and I'm sure it'll happen again. As it turns out, it looks like it didn't really cause any adverse effect to the merchants, especially out on Fisherman's Wharf. They seem to be very quiet now. They haven't released any numbers, but the fact that they haven't released any numbers to me sounds like it didn't hurt them too badly. So once again, the naysayers will turn into, I think they will turn into big proponents, just like they were when the F-Market streetcar was first introduced to Fisherman's Wharf. They thought it would be the end of the world, and it wasn't. Also, as it turned out, the other businesses along the Sunday Streets route did very well. The Ferry Building enjoyed an increase of 50% in their business. The Bayview area was very happy with the number of people that were out on the street and patronizing their businesses. So, on the whole, business did well. But more importantly, people got to see the street in a whole new light. The purpose of the whole exercise. Right about now, you're probably thinking, I've heard that music before. That's clarinetist Don Byron doing the music of Raymond Scott. Who's Raymond Scott? Well, if you ever watched any cartoons on Saturday morning, well, that'll just be my hint. Be sure to check the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com, and I will be sure to put a link to an unbelievably stupendous YouTube clip of the original version of this song. Well, since I've already gone off topic, I'll even go further afield. As you know, I went to Portland a while back. I put up a few of several podcasts, various workshops that I attended at the Towards Car-Free Cities conference in Portland. I still have a few more to come up. I'm just spacing them out. You'll hear some very more interesting conversations from Portland. But I wanted to do something about the train ride to and from Portland. It was just great. I have this little bit clip of audio here, an interview I had in the train station, and some of my impressions. Well, I've just arrived at the Union Station in Portland. Beautiful old station. Marble all over the inside. Nice neon lights where the telephones, baggage department are. Just boxed up my bike. You have to box your bike on Amtrak. It costs $15 for the box, and then there's a $5 fee for the privilege of boxing up your bike. So $20 extra is what you need to add each way to your ticket. If you're lucky, you'll find a box discarded by someone else, and then you'll get away with just the $5 fee. But I paid the $20 both ways this time. Rode the fixie. I got a seat post rack where I put my sleeping bag. It's a Topeak seat post rack. Stuck it on the seat post. I recommend if you ride a fixie and you put a seat post rack on it, you get a break, because you can't skid with all that weight in the back, or it's much more difficult. But I did make it without a break. We'll see how I am getting home tonight from tomorrow morning in San Francisco. But it's all uphill. I won't need to worry too much about breaks. Anyway, I'm here an hour early, and there was really no reason to get here so early. The other night I was in a bar when I got a phone call from Amtrak. Almost didn't hear it over the noise of the bar. The 11 from... The 11 Coast Starlight that goes from Vancouver, Canada, down to San Diego. had a problem, and I have to get off the train in Sacramento and switch to the Capitol Corridor, which means I'll have to get up really early, around 5:36 in the morning, to get off the train, if the train's on time, and I'll switch to the Coast Starlight. Apparently there are tracks that are out of service for a day down near Santa Barbara, so they're sending the trains through the valley instead of along the coast. And apparently if you're a train buff, it's a big deal, because they're going to be sending trains through the Tehachapi Pass. So I just spied a couple of train buffs. I can tell who they are immediately. They're these geeky looking guys with train hats and little patches on their hats for all the train trips they've taken. You guys riding on the Coast Starlight tonight?
Yes.
Did you hear what's going on there? You have to get off in Sacramento if you're going to San Francisco?
Yeah, because they're going over to Tehachapi Loop.
What's the deal with that? Everybody's telling me that's a big deal.
They're doing
Union Pacific is doing track work.
Bridge, someplace.
Santa Barbara, I heard, yeah.
Between San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara. So the easiest way for them to do it is just to shut down the track for 24 hours and just do their work.
I mean, they're gonna actually let the passenger train go over to Tehachapi. You got too many freight trains up there. We can't run a passenger train.
Oh, is that? It's
to see how many delays we're going to.
I heard it's like maybe this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go over.
Well, I heard they're going to do it again in October, too.
What's good about it? Just it happens really rarely.
Well, it hasn't seen a passing train in 30 years. That's what the San Joaquin used to run.
Uh-huh.
And now they say they might even meet at the loop if they're lucky. They did that a couple of years ago. 11 went down there, but it was only one way. And I didn't know about it until I see another one running. They're not going to ride over to Tehachapi Loop. Anyway, yep, real fan. Uh-huh. Yep, yep, we're looking at it.
You guys recognize each other.
Yep, anyway.
The Foamer's Club, you know?
The what club?
The Foamer.
Yeah, what's a Foamer?
Foamer is...
I'm recording this for the radio.
Oh, okay. Foamer's used is a term that they call rail fans. Whenever that we see a train, our mouths foam up.
I don't foam, I just drool.
Well, I picked you out right away because of the hat.
Yeah, but,
yeah, you know,
the hat, the radio.
If you want to see these guys in action,
all right, you guys,
let them run a big steam engine out there, and you'll see them go crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm more of a diesel type, though.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you got a diesel on your T-shirt there. Was it going past Mount Shasta, looks like, or something?
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Daylight Sales makes quite a few of these shirts, so...
Amtrak. And you got a radio? What kind of what's with the radio?
It's a Radio Shack scanner.
Oh,
every former's carrying one of these. You know what's going on?
So
Radio Shack. I got
the Pro 97.
I got the Pro 97. I got the high power antenna.
It's actually a ham radio antenna, but it's tuned for 140 megahertz.
Well, I got the big long one. You get that big long one, you can hear them, and you get to get the repeater frequency.
So this has an extra coil down here, so it really picks up a lot of stuff. So.
What do you listen to?
He sees you carrying these. Do you work for Amtrak?
No, I know you didn't work for Amtrak.
Carrying those,
Well,
they see him with that. They know you're a rail, but they see me and they think I work for them. I'm security or something.
Yeah, security or something like that.
What do you listen to on it?
Listening to the train crew in Portland. There's also a station frequency that the station managers and baggage and ticket office they use, especially for Cascades, because they have to make sure that they know when the gates close because it's reservations only. So the station crew has one frequency, but the main frequency for the railroad between dispatcher and the crews.
I forgot
and all
what that
stuff.
Is. Do you have that?
I believe it's 96, AAR 96, 161.55.
Oh, yeah. Well, they...
But I am hearing on 165.15.
Get it. 55, line over.
Dueling radios.
Where are you
going to get off the train?
When am I going to get on?
When are you getting off? Where are you going to?
Going to Oxnard. Actually, Los Angeles, and then I have to take a train up north again.
Oh, so this is going to be a real hassle for you.
Somewhat. It's going to put an extra hour and a half, but I don't mind.
He's getting some rare mileage tomorrow. Go see Tehachapi Loop, and there's going to be a million people up there taking pictures.
I think that's the announcement right now for 11, so...
All right. Hey, what's your name?
My name is Hovan Salibian. Hovan Salibian.
Nice to meet you. My name's John.
John.
Nice to meet you. What's your name?
Ron.
Hey, Ron. Nice to meet you. My name's John. How are you doing?
Take the scenic route. I was going to take 28 to Spokane at 7 back, but I am so beat. I got to go back to Bellingham.
We had a runner in, you know what a runner is, right? We had a runner in Eugene coming up. That's what they heard. They heard the guy on the PA goes, "We got a runner."
Last Saturday,
I think it was Eugene.
Yeah,
or Klamath.
Guy got off to smoke. Didn't hear the all aboard call. Missed the train.
The idiot. Too bad. Don't do that.
And we were only 15.
It's too bad.
Is it wagon opening?
Well, yeah, it's just a regular station stop, you know. But I mean, we can't really, you know, hold up the train and make you guys all late just because one guy decided to go to the coffee shop and not listen to us and stay the train side.
We thought it was him because he said he wanted to get a picture of the locomotive.
Yeah, I tried to get up and, you know, to take a shot of the locomotive.
Right, yeah, and if you wanted to do that, you could have gotten on up there and just walked back. Okay, perfect, yeah, so. I mean, it's too bad.
He's not the one, he's not the runner.
No, I saw him out there.
We thought it was him.
I had to look away because he was, I had the door open too, and we were already going like 10 miles an hour. I had to look away because I didn't want to make him feel bad that I saw him and didn't do anything about it, but. Nothing we can do, really.
It probably was one of our crowd, though, because we're all going to the same place to a conference. So.
And we don't do it for fun, but, you know, we're not going to make everybody else.
Hey, I would do it for fun. I would enjoy the hell out of it.
All right, well, maybe I can give you a little wink there. That was kind of fun. So, and I mean, and like I said, it's too bad that it has to happen, but we did, you know, have two announcements stating, stay train side, listen to the conductors all aboard. The train whistled off. He decided to go to the coffee stand a block and a half up the road. I saw him running with the coffee cup.
He didn't even dish his coffee.
He's probably from Seattle.
When do you know all that?
That's Amtrak's new commitment to on-time schedules.
Well, I hope you don't mind me taking you off topic there, but trains and bikes go together so well, and it's kind of nice to see people who are just as fanatical about something else as we are about bicycles. And also, it's worth noting that when you ride on a train, per passenger, you are putting in the air half as much carbon as you would if you were driving, and only one-third as much as if you were traveling the same distance by airplane, my jet plane, even with that nasty diesel smokestack up on top. Okay, I just have a few events I want to publicize. Desire to Fly, that is an installation at the Spare Room Project, 270 Anderson Street at Cortland. They are having a lecture. Well, it's a joint project with Susan O'Malley and Alex Clausen, Alexander LaRiviere, the proprietor of Faber's Cyclery and Bicycle Accident Investigator, will share the story of bicycle innovation and its associations with freedom. This is a lecture that they'll be doing on Friday, September 26th from 7 till 10 p.m. The lecture starts at 7:30 at the Spare Room Project, as I said, 270 Anderson Street at Cortland over in Bernal Heights. He's had this business for 30 years, but the building itself is also has a century of history. The cyclery has been in continuous operation since 1921. This is down in San Jose, making it one of the oldest bicycle shops in California and the United States. So they have an installation going on, including a historical timeline, antique bicycles, an audio recording, and video portrait of La Riviere, which will accompany his talk at the Spare Room Project. And you can go and view the installation by appointment through October 12th. So if you go to thesparerumproject.net, you can hear all about it. Also, on Monday, September 29th, from 8 till 1 a.m., at El Rio, great bar if you've never been there, on Mission Street near Cesar Chavez. The Bike Kitchen will have its 5-year anniversary benefit party. In January, the Bike Kitchen is going to be moving, and they're going to need some support, and they're going to need it for their build-out, and they're getting a brand new space in the original site at Alabama and 18th. Right now, they're down on Mission Street in the downtown area, but they're moving back to their old space now that it's been rebuilt, and they're going to need some money. Of course, so come in down and have some fun and support them. El Rio, they're going to have $1 drinks, music by Maldextra and others. They're going to have T-shirts and silkscreen posters, collector's items, I'm sure, a raffle, a slideshow of their past 5 years,
and on-stage mechanic competitions. It doesn't get any better than that. Sliding scale is $8 to $100, and you, of course it's a bar, so you have to be 21 or over. And a while back you heard Laird was talking about the Pedal Monster, all the fun that's going to be happening over at Ace Junkyard. That is from 5 p.m. till 12 midnight at Ace Auto, 2255 McKinnon Avenue, Saturday, September 27th. So, Heavy Pedal Cycle Side, Bike Rodeo Fundraiser, and Annual Bike Club Gathering. This year, the Pedal Monster will coincide with Bike Bike, the annual conference of community bike projects hosted by San Francisco's Bike Kitchen and Santa Cruz's Bike Church. The convergence of Pedal Monster and Bike Bike will bring cyclistas and marauding mutant bicycle clubs from all over the country, and we're going to show them how we do it in the Bay Area. So Sunday's show features local music and performances alongside Cycle Side's pedal-powered Carnival Midway and Heavy Pedal Bike Rodeo with its mutant bikes of death, destruction, and ridiculousness for all to ride. $10 to $20 sliding scale, no one turned away. More event info is at cycleside.com.
Hi, my name's John Mather from Monticello, Minnesota. I enjoy your podcast from iTunes. And keep pounding that road. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, John. That was John calling on the Bikescape line. Leave a message at 206-984-1216. And you can be on the show, too. And you can say more than that. You can talk for an hour if you want. Make your own podcast. Tell me what life is like in Duluth, or what it's like to ride a bike in Australia or in the Alps. The bikescapers of the world want to know. But then again, if you're too shy to get on the podcast with me, you're welcome to send me an email at bikescape@sbcglobal.net. That's always there, and you can also leave a comment on the blog at bikescape.blogspot.com. But most importantly of all, whatever you're doing, wherever you're riding, anywhere in the world, be sure to take the lane. Thanks, and goodbye, everybody.